heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation.
The nation.
And now, Malcolm.
It is really odd how our relationship with China has really uniquely changed overnight, considering, you know, where we were. We were just talking about what trade deals with them and stuff just about a year ago or less. And who would have thought that this is where we would find ourselves? A lot has happened in the relationship of China and the United States. And quite frankly, I would suggest to you that it may never be the same again. That's a big statement, but it may not be far from the truth. It's hard to say at this point, really. There's a lot yet to play out, and whether they come clean or not on this entire episode, it's not looking like they are. It seems they double or triple down all the time. So anyways, it is a very, very big topic. We'll take that up today, friends. The mendacity of China is where we will start. But there is a lot to the program today, and let me clue you in on what we are doing exactly. Hashtag My Voice is the name of the program today. And I love doing these because we get a chance to really talk to we the people, which are those of us on the front lines. But what better way to do that than this medium? And connect like-minded people and people with different thoughts, diversity of opinion, diversity of thought, what I always say to you about, right? And that's what we'll be doing today on three very interesting topics. We'll start with China, but then we'll also get into, you see, Neil Cavuto and the Fox network there, and his coming out there on the hydroxychloroquine, as a lot of the media has. It's become a political firebomb. There's a lot to that story, I'll tell you. You've been hearing me talk about that on the network. We'll talk about that today as well. And we'll round it with, well, one of your favorite topics, my friends, Never Trumpers. And there's a lot of those, both on the Democrat and the Republican Party. It's a disease not unlike the China virus. I mean, it is a weird disease. It is hard to figure and understand. People don't really even sometimes know they have it or have been infected with it, but yet they are infected with the Never Trump disease. We'll talk about that today as well. We'll do that today with three very unique people on the platform here. Mallory Millett will join us. Politic Rick is here. And Liz, who goes by Latina on Fire, will join us as well. Everybody knows her out in social media, so Latina on Fire. So we'll stay with that. Let's start here with the mendacity of China and welcome on Mallory Millett. And Mallory is a career CFO, and she is a long-standing director of the David Horowitz Freedom Center. And I love her tagline of life, if you will. She's a repentant lefty and an unrepentant conservative. So she has a whole history in changing in her life that way. So Mallory, let's talk about China. And I think that as I set the tone here on China, it's not business as usual with China. And I think a lot of Americans, if they're not aware of this right now, they certainly soon will be. Our relationship seems to have changed a great deal. Let me throw it to you now and tell us, what's your sense and feeling about China?
Well, you know, I lived in the Southeast Asia for 4 years. And I never came back to the United States, even for Christmas. I got this crash course in Asian philosophy and Asian thought and how to get along with these people. And I was living in Southeast Asia, and I was at one point I was producing the show The Fantastics there, and it had been a huge hit in America. And I was coming home from rehearsal one day, really obsessed with the fact that I must be experiencing reverse racism, because I just felt as if everybody was lying to me all the time. I couldn't understand why they were lying to me. I was taking it personally. I was a white American woman, and obviously they were prejudiced against me in some way. And then I suddenly realized that I was driving down the street that it had been a year and a half that I had been there, that no, they weren't just lying to me. They were lying to each other all the time, that they just lied every time they spoke. And I just, it hit me with such a hot flash. And so when I came back to America and people would ask me about China and they would say, you know, what did you learn while you were in China? And I would say, look, what I learned when I was in China was we mustn't trade with these people. Now, this was about 35 years ago. I'd say, we mustn't trade with these people. And they'd say, why not? What are you talking about? And I'd say, well, because trading with the Chinese is like a baseball team and a football team playing basketball on a hockey rink. It's because we do not have any of the same values, and all of the rules are different for us. And I reasoned at that exact moment, my God is the Judeo-Christian concept. We have the Ten Commandments. We raise our children with the Ten Commandments. Now, if I point at somebody across the room here in America, and I say to you, that guy is a liar, you know exactly what I mean by that. Now, you can say to me, well, everybody lies, you know, everybody in America lies. Yes, but we have a standard here that they are violating. And so, therefore, we can understand each other when we call someone a liar. In China, if I point across the room and say to somebody, that guy is a liar, they'll look at me in complete bewilderment. And they just don't have any idea what you're talking about. And that's because they don't have the Ten Commandments. And that's the thing that separates us tremendously. And when you try to trade with people that don't have that same basis, you're really up a crick, you know.
Okay.
When we started to go through this Wuhan thing, they were lying to us from the very beginning, systematically lying all the way. They knew it was human to human transmission way back in December or even earlier. They knew this, but they have control of the World Health Organization, and they and the World Health Organization got into cahoots, and they agreed to lie to us about things.
So, Mallory, you think this lying then is you're describing something I hadn't thought of it in these terms, but you're saying it's sort of innate in their culture, more or less, and you're
totally
also, and you're which is interesting because I hadn't thought about that, but you're also pointing at the fact of Judeo-Christian values and how that may play into it now. Pause the thought there. Let's bring Politic Rick in to comment on this. Rick, I've never thought about it in the terms of what Mallory puts out there, but I will say this. She mentioned the Wuhan virus, all the lying that went on up front. Clearly, there was a ton of lying through this whole thing, or whatever you want to call it. But, you know, as I start to think about it, actually, Rick, if you think about a lot of agreements over the years and trade agreements, what is it with the Asian culture that they, you know, they don't honor a lot of the agreements? They say one thing, they do another. And even though they sign something, it's actually like they're lying through their teeth when they're signing it. And even when they're shaking your hand, that they're not going to honor what they did. And it's sort of become, I don't know, just we I guess for me, Rick, I sort of have come to expect it when it comes to a deal that's made with Asian culture. So I've never thought of it in those terms. What do you think of that?
It's an interesting perspective. You know, I was aware of the issue that there's a huge cultural difference between the United States and China. Anybody who's done business there will tell you that, you know, when it comes to doing business and capitalism the way we operate, they just don't get it. And there's no way to explain it to them. You know, we've spent our life living in this society. And as Mallory points out, guided by Judeo-Christian values, they have none of that. It would take forever to get them to understand where we're coming from. So I think pretty much the position we're in actually in some ways is a good one, in that to deal with these guys, you need a really, really strong leader. And we've got it in President Trump. If anybody can pull this together and make it work, I believe that he can.
The thing is that we work on the honor system. Americans know if I bring the television set home and I have it in my house and you send me an invoice that I will 2 months later or a month later, I will pay for that television set. Or we have the thing where a man's word is his bond. You make a deal on a handshake. But in China, a contract means absolutely nothing. They will sign a contract one day and violate it 3 weeks later. And then they don't understand why you're upset.
What they understand is power. It really is what it comes down to.
Exactly.
And somebody negotiating from a position of strength, and for all of the terrible things that have transpired here, President Trump is now sitting in a position of incredible strength, and they're going to go after China in a big way. I just thought there's a first ad out about China and pointed at Biden, you know, calling him China Joe. That's a big part of what's going to happen. You know, and think about this for a second. The position that Trump is in right now, we need to open our country and get it functioning again, because I'll give you a short education on being a political analyst. That's what I do. If the economy is up and running and pointed in the right direction come November, President Trump is going to win. If the economy is not, he's going to lose. It's just that simple. You don't need to spend any time analyzing anything else. That's the story.
Well, and that may be why they're trying to keep it all closed. It very well could be. It seems to be the case. All right, let me bring Liz in and get her involved in the conversation here as well. And this cultural thing, Mallory, it really opens up the eyes a little bit for me when she talks about even the basic agreements we would sign and things of that nature. But here's the thing. Rick says, okay, we may be in a power position. Interesting, Rick, that you say that in the way of this. Yes, Donald Trump has been unique in how he has played this out, no question. Nobody could have imagined him playing out China the way he has played out China. Nobody in the political circles would have done what he'd done. And had he not done it that way, we may already have been at a even a bigger deficit than where we're at potentially here. But this kind of puts us in a very awkward position as one of the two largest economies on the planet. How are we going to deal with China in the future? And if we can never trust them, which again, Liz, the president played out this whole art of the deal in a big way, and everybody's seen that. And of course, the left went crazy. How are we going to work with China in the future?
I think President Trump is a uniquely intelligent man that has had a very vast business background and has been exposed to many individuals while working in New York. And his experience in his business will definitely take him where he needs to go. Plus, I think he has an innate sense of what it takes to rule a country. He understands and he listens very carefully and he plays chess. I've never seen anyone like him. China was involved in shady business. They were out to be the number one ruler of the world. They have too much power given to them by previous administrations. Let me clarify, not Trump. He's trying to take it away. We cannot be having shirts and underwears and dresses that say made in China. It should be made in USA. And then I'm going to take it further. I was born in Cuba. This to me comes close to home. This is very much communism. And they don't believe in religion, okay?
Yep.
In Cuba, Castro stops you from communicating with others, stops religion freedom of any kind, takes your guns away. And not only that, they do chemical warfare.
Our own American sense of fairness prompts us at all times to give people the benefit of the doubt. And you probably understand better than anybody, having come from Cuba, that you cannot give these people one shred of the benefit of any doubt. Never. Because the Chinese have made up their minds collectively that we are the most naive, stupid, easily suckered people on earth. And
Amen.
That's why I fell madly in love with Donald Trump in 1993 when I read The Art of the Deal, because he was carrying on about China then. And I had already been back in America carrying on about China for years. And I just thought it was hopeless that all white men were going to be stooges for these Chinese people. And we're always thinking if we're kind to them, they'll be kind back. No, nothing like that will happen. You need power, you need force, and you need somebody like Donald Trump. But it's always going to be dangerous to deal with China.
Yeah.
Always.
Amen. Well, that is, seems to be the only thing they know is that power of force. And it really comes to respect, right? There's a sense of respect, that they get from that power. And they look at the rest of it as a sense of weakness. And that's something that Trump knew. Now, one of the things, Rick, that was just mentioned about chess, it's one of a lot of the military people tell me all the time, is that Trump, from the word go, was always playing chess while everybody else else was on Chinese checkers, if you will, right? Actually, our political class here, Rick, were actually on Russian checkers, which was even worse, you understand, because they kept fooling the American people, thinking Russia was the boogeyman. It was never Russia. Never, right?
No, it was China.
We have more in common than Russia than we ever had with China, ever.
As I say, the Chinese people lie systematically. But when then you put it together with communism, where Vladimir Lenin said, this is a Lenin quote, telling the truth is a petty bourgeois habit, whereas with us, lying is justified by our goals. Now you put China together with that kind of communism, and you've got a deadly, deadly enemy.
The politicians in this country willingly allowed them to lie to them. Why did they do that? Because they were making millions and millions of dollars by letting the Chinese lie to them or lie to us. So in other words, a lot of our politicians had a lot to gain by doing business with China. And whether they did business fair or not, they didn't care because they were making a lot of money in the process.
Yeah. Hey, Rick, what you're saying is they really sold us out. And I've been saying that right along. The business community did, but a lot of it came down to profits but it was also the way our political system was structured. You know, we made it easy to go over business. In fact, through the 8 years of the Obama administration and through the Bush administration, I think America's manufacturing was pretty well gutted out, wasn't it? Was all sent overseas.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you know, a topic for another day is capitalism. You know, does capitalism survive globalism, or do we survive globalism within a capitalistic society?
Yeah.
It seems like as soon as we move beyond our borders, mm-hmm. all of a sudden, what's in the economic interest of parties is not in the interest of the United States. So there we have the tension. And that's where Donald J. Trump walks in and points out that, well, we can't have this if we're going to have a country.
Yeah, well, what happened is Trump's seen a lot of things that other people did not see. I mean, he's seen a lot of things that the political class either ignored or they took advantage of. And by taking advantage of is a lot of things what we're talking about now, selling out America. Well, then we woke up one day, we found there was no manufacturing left. And Trump, remember, campaigned on that. So I think where Donald Trump was in a unique position is he's seen a lot of problems that had become we had inherited from one administration over the next, really over the last 30 years, people. And all of that damage, I think, had sort of built up through, and then it went on steroids through the Obama administration. And here's where we find ourselves now. Now we find ourselves in a fight of good and evil and trying to take it back from the deep state and the entrenched bureaucrats who run. These are the people who think they are the cat's ass. And they have literally destroyed America from the inside out. But it was always going to be that way, people. I mean, it was always going to be from the inside out. It was never the outside that we should have been concerned with. It's all happening right here in our homeland. That should be a concern to you and to I both. So we're talking hashtag my voice today. And we're going to move the conversation along a bit now and want to talk about Cavuto, the Fox Network channel there, and the hydroxychloroquine and the agenda out for this medication, which we've been talking about on the network here with you. You certainly are a lot more educated about it than most out there if you've been following us here. But Cavuto seems to be one of these characters who have seem to have an agenda of some sort. There's a lot of them out there. We'll take that on next here and be back with our distinguished panel after this quick pause here on The Voice of a Nation.
Listen to Malcolm, The Voice of a Nation on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
What if a new treatment backed by 17,000 scientific articles was proven to extend our lifespan, protect against terrible diseases like cancer, heart disease, and dementia, make us more attractive and thinner, feel calmer and happier, and boost energy levels, memory, and performance? What would you pay for even the smallest dose of this treatment? Well, the good news is you don't have to pay anything, because these are just some of the benefits of a full night of quality sleep. If you're one of the millions of Americans who need better quality sleep, the time to change is now. Until now, most sleep aids haven't worked, but a new, easy-to-swallow sleep gel invented by the leading nutrition company, Healthy Cell, is designed to support all four stages of human sleep to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake up refreshed. It's called REM Sleep. To get a free two-night supply of REM Sleep, visit healthycell.com/sleep. That's healthycell.com/sleep.
We are joined back with you here on Hashtag My Voice today on The Voice of a Nation. And the next topic I want to talk to you about, friends, is this, well, a little bit of the hydroxychloroquine, but more so even the news story in the past many days about Nick Cavuto, which, you know, the president has called this media pundit out, as he has many of them, actually. And so up next, as we introduce you to Politic Rick here, he's got a tweet out that has gained some pretty good steam here. Says, Cavuto, hydroxychloroquine will kill you, is what Cavuto is saying. And this comes back to, we discussed this with Dr. Vliet just the other day here, the number of cardiac problems within the millions per is inconsequential, people. And so they've taken this little bit of information, I mean, and they have politicized it, I guess, is all I would say to you. I don't know what else they would you would say about this. But Rick's tweet goes on to say, Fox's Cavuto joins the hashtag fake news Trump hating club. And what I really like about this, Rick is on a mission here of truth always. He says here, call number one, call Fox headquarters here, puts the phone number in there. If an operator answers, ask for the comments line. That was number two. Number three, select option three. Number four, let Fox know we don't want Cavuto's fake news. So, by golly, he put it right out there, gave us the 1, 2, 3, 4 play-by-play here. Let me tell you about Politic Rick. He is the CEO of Giant Slayers, LLC. He's a journalist, he's a political analyst, truth warrior, as you'll hear, and a free speech extremist here. And Rick, it's been a while. It is wonderful to have you on here. And so this got a little steam about Cavuto, but what got you steamed initially with Cavuto? And the real core of this issue was the fact that he's talking about people are dying of cardiac arrest for using hydroxychloroquine. Is that the concept?
That's it. I think there are two very heated issues here that Neil touches on, and not in a good way. And it's the reason there are hundreds of comments on that tweet. And the reason being is it hits a nerve for everyone. One, Mr. Cavuto in that segment is advocating for the left. In essence, he's arguing against hydroxychloroquine. And I'll talk about in a minute about the reasons the left want to oppose hydroxychloroquine, but Neil's right in there with him. He's being part of the left. He might as well be working for CNN that day, the way he's carrying on. And then he goes into issues about it. The VA study, turns out the VA study is discredited, and news conference the very next day, Trump puts on the head of the VA who explains that we never conducted that study and it wasn't scientifically conducted. And the results didn't take into account comorbidities and other important data. So it's a bunch of nonsense. It should never have even been brought up, but it goes to Neil's character in that moment that he should know that. One of two things are wrong here. Either he knows that and he said it anyway, or he hasn't done the research and the guy is supposed to be a journalist. And then he goes into a study that was conducted in New York saying that there is no appreciable benefit from hydroxychloroquine. Well, you know, if you're paying attention, Cuomo issued an executive order. He only allows it to be administered in critical situations in the hospital. And everybody knows, anybody who listens to your show and listens to Dr. Vliet knows that the benefit of this drug, along with azithromycin and zinc, is received on the front end. So you've got to take it early. Late isn't going to solve the problem.
Well, no, because it's already got into your system at that point, and you've been corrupted already. So you're trying to reverse. It's like having a car crash and then trying to avoid the car crash, Rick. It doesn't happen.
Exactly right. So the advantage of a little bit of the science, the advantage of we believe with hydroxychloroquine is that it opens up the cell, and then zinc can enter the cell, and zinc stops the replication process. But if if we're on the tail end of it, it's replicated to the point that slowing down replication at this point has no benefit whatsoever. But at any rate, he took two very much debunked and very ridiculous arguments, and he ranted and raved, unlike what I'm doing right now, about it. But I'm doing it from a position of knowledge.
Right. Well, Rick, here's the thing. What you've made me aware of already, and when we talk to Mallory and Liz in a moment too, one of the things it seems to me like in the news business, and I put really quote marks around when I say the word news, because it is no longer news. They all have biases, Rick. Everybody's got a bias. So obviously that particular day, Cavuto thinks a certain way, and he brought his biases to the program. Now, we don't necessarily should have a problem with that if that's what they present themselves as being, an opinion-based show, and you're an opinion host, then I think you're entitled to your biases. You know what I'm saying? But if you're a news show and you're going to put yourself off as a news show, like CBS does in the Norah O'Donnell business, I mean, don't lie to us and then suggest that you're giving us news when you're given. That's the real problem with news today, don't you think?
I do. And I think one thing that's important here is a little bit of the backstory with Neil Cavuto. Mm-hmm. Trump won't go on his show, and he's pissed off about it. I think this is just a reflection of that. It's easy to see, you know, that.
Well, if that's the case, my friend, that makes Cavuto a pretty shallow fellow, if that's the reason he's doing it. Rick and I were just talking about Dr. Elizabeth Lee Vliet, MD. She's a weekly columnist, a writer, and a commentator here at America Out Loud. And we're delighted to have Dr. Vliet join us here just recently here. And as part of our team here to get the news out properly, if you will. But we just did, she's been on multiple times. In fact, I will tell you now, if you're listening to this here on Friday, she'll be on Viewpoint this Sunday with another doctor, Dr. Orient, on vaccines. We'll be educating folks this weekend on Viewpoint this Sunday, as a side note there. But Dr. Vliet and I just did a deep dive, Rick. We just spent an hour going through this. And the show is played on our system yesterday on talk radio. It'll be on podcast in a couple of days. You can hear it again. But we did a whole deep dive on the hydroxychloroquine stats tell a big story. And let me share with something now, Rick. And you may know this already. For instance, some of the stats I have here that are official stats. For instance, there are 62 cardiac deaths out of 50 million. That's a risk of 1.2 in 1 million is what we're dealing with. A car trip, a 1,000-mile risk of a fatal accident is 1 in 366. The ratio is absolutely incredible. But here's where the story gets really should get you really unsettled, what I tell you next. On the network, there's a op-ed, an article, the FDA bureaucrat brags on blocking physicians prescribing HCQ, hydroxychloroquine, in early COVID-19. The stats are unbelievably alarming, and everybody should be fired up no matter what your political persuasion is, because we have not done a good job here, I am sad to say to you, in the United States. These are official stats from these countries. Let me just give you deaths per million. Listen to this. India, 2 deaths per million. Costa Rica, 2 deaths per million. Australia, 4 per million. Argentina, 8 per million. South Korea, 5. Turkey, 50. Israel, 32. The United States, 278 deaths per million.
It's big. In India, they use hydroxychloroquine for prophylaxis, which means as a preventative measure. So all the frontline people are taking hydroxychloroquine.
Like Trump talked about this past few days ago, and everybody had a heart attack, right?
Yep.
Right. Yeah. And they, oh my God, the president's, and Rick, for a minute, they acted like they cared or something. Oh my God, what happened here? You know, the president's taking, I mean, let's go around the room here. Let me get others in on the conversation here. Liz, I want to bring you on with us here and ask you this, Liz. Wasn't it ironic, Liz, when they were having that press conference and the president's there and he says, I'm taking hydroxychloroquine kind of as a preventive, as you say, and I'm taking it, you know. And it was like the media for a second there, like everybody was silent, right? Like, you're taking it, Mr. President? Yeah. I've been taking it for a week and a half, 2 years. Like, Mr. President. And for a moment, though, it was like total outrage. But Mr. President, we really want you to think we care about you, Mr. President. I mean, Liz, it was insane, wasn't it?
Yes. Donald Trump is a powerhouse. That's why everybody's so freaking afraid of him. he just speaks what he wants. He's not afraid of a thing. He doesn't care who criticizes him. And frankly, that's why he's got my vote. He knew that we needed to drain that swamp from day one. Neil Cavuto needs to be drained out of Fox News. You heard it here from me right now. That man is a Democrat, as they say on Twitter.
Does anybody know, does he sell his show as an opinion show or a news show? I'm talking about Neil Cavuto himself. Do you know that, Liz, or Rick know that?
It's a news show.
Yeah, but he's bringing on his personal agenda. And you're going to realize we got more rats around this president and the media than we care to admit.
Oh, yeah.
There is so many people. Look what also happened with the FBI, and let's not even go there, what they've done to the president. There is so much around him.
Mm-hmm. That is one of the things I talked to Dr. Vliet about, quite frankly, in the last couple of days, was the bureaucrats in play. And for instance, Liz, in the case of what we're talking about now, this hydroxychloroquine business, so I'll give you an example here. One of the bureaucrats in the administration, this was Rick Bright, and he's the one who was the, they called him a whistleblower, which I think is just a lot of bunch of rubbish now. And, and Rick Bright, but these bureaucrats are everywhere throughout government.
Yes. I believe in everything that the United States stands for, freedom, religion, everything, including our rights. If you are dying, or if you have a loved one that is dying, and you know in your heart of hearts that there's something out there that the president of the United States is actually taking, which I stand with 100%, that could save any loved member of yours' life, would you sign any paperwork away and release all your earthly goods to save that person? And I would say, you know something? Give me the piece of paper. Give this medicine to my loved one. I want to save that person.
Right.
It can be done.
The fact that the whole system could be locked up by one unelected bureaucrat who decides that hydroxychloroquine is a risk and should only be allowed to be administered in a hospital setting. Now, if you take that one step further, why is everybody lining up against hydroxychloroquine? Why has this become a political issue where if you're a conservative, you're all for hydroxychloroquine and you're tuning in to Malcolm Out Loud and listening to Dr. Vliet and becoming educated. And on the left, you don't care. You just know that you don't want that.
That's right.
I think if we take a look at this, logically, what's going on here is if hydroxychloroquine is successful, there's no issue with COVID-19.
Amen.
If there's no issue with COVID-19,
there's no
fear campaign. There's no ability for them to push for mail-in ballots. There's no ability for them to take over politically, and that's what this is all about.
Yeah. All right, very well said. I want to get Mallory into the conversation because you know she is biting her tongue right now, people. and she has a lot to say about this, I'm sure. And Mallory, as we go there, and I bring you on live here with us as well, let me say, Mallory, that if I was given a choice and if I had, any of us right now, we could have coronavirus or not, whatever. I mean, if we do, we do. We don't. But the point is, if I had it and it was any kind of a situation up front where it was impacting me, I would not hesitate with the knowledge of what I have to take the hydroxychloroquine. I would not hesitate to take it. Mallory, would you take it?
Absolutely. And you know what, you brought up this thing about these bureaucrats taking primacy over everything. This Dr. Fauci, I don't know why all of a sudden, within a millisecond, one person is suddenly ruling the country. We've never elected this person. We've never heard of this person. We don't know who this person is. And all of a sudden, we're marching in lockstep according to some person's orders. And this is so disturbing to me. And this Cavuto thing that you're talking about, I had that guy pegged years ago. I've been in front of the television set saying to my husband, I don't like this Neil Cavuto at all. He's slippery. He's strange. I suspect him of being a lefty. He's a plant. You know, I've had this suspicion for a long time. And Donald Trump has the instincts of, I have no idea. He has the most acute, incredibly just perfect instincts about things. And the minute he gets an idea like that, people better stop and listen, because he doesn't come out with stuff if he thinks he's going to be wrong. He always knows what he's talking about. I latched on to him when I read The Art of the Deal in 1993. I fell in love with him. I was running around the house saying to my husband, Donald Trump has got to become president of the United States right now. And that was 26 years or so before he became president. But he is, I love the fact that he's taking the hydroxychloroquine. I love that because he's being an example for all of us. Right. He does this all the time, making himself an example.
That's a good way to put it.
I think the more people hate him, the more we have to really look at him, because he is such a threat to the left. He's going to put them out of business permanently if he continues in force another 4 years.
Right.
And they know that. And they also know that this medicine works. And if everybody just started taking this thing and we just put this disease behind us, the left doesn't have even a half a chance. Although we all have to be aware of the fact that if we get rid of this big interference that they're into right now with the medicine and the disease, they will come up with a new one.
Nice.
They've got things in their quiver that they're going to pull out a month from now.
That's a great point.
Always dirty tricks. Always dirty tricks.
That's right. It's a very good point, Mallory, because we've seen that game play out so many times in the 3.5 years of the administration. It continues to move the ball along. There's always a crisis they're battling the president on, the administration. And more than that, friends, they're battling the American people. They're battling you and I, we the people. The people who elected the president, and that's where things get a little rough here. You know, one other very interesting caveat I want to share with Rick and all of you here on the line, but this was Rick's topic here about Cavuto, Fox, and hydroxychloroquine, and it's this. This Rick Bright, who is a career bureaucrat and a vaccine researcher and a political appointee, by the way, he's the former head of BARDA. It's a Biomedical Advanced Research and Development Authority. The interesting thing about Bright that should also shock everybody, back to what Mallory was just talking about, well, he was appointed by President Obama just prior to Trump coming on board to his administration. It was just within 30, 60 days of that. Why would he appoint somebody in this role, in this position? So do the math, people. Why would that be? And then you might say, well, what's the conspiracy here, you might ask next, right? Well, again, a lot of these bureaucrats are littered throughout government. They're littered throughout all of the agencies. And that's been our biggest challenge. It's been, I think, the challenge of this administration is, you know, you're only as good as you surround yourself with brilliant people, friends. I mean, that's it. That's why I always use that as an example here at America Out Loud, because I've surrounded myself with brilliant people like Dr. Vliet. And we have scientists, NASA scientists, and smart intellects, beautiful, amazing people who know so much. I mean, that I was told as a young boy, that was the secret to life success. Surround yourself with the best successful people and you'll be a success. So, hell, that's what I did. And I've got all the bright, smart intellects around me, and they make me look good. And then I can do my thing, whatever the hell that is. On some days I figured that out, right? But anyways, back to the bureaucrats. You got to get the bureaucrats out of Washington. You got to flush them away as well. That's the real system and the problem. When we reference the deep state, that is what we are talking about right there. It's a lot of those characters who then align themselves with these ideologies that really want to make us into the United States of Socialists of America. And we're not that sort of a socialist communist country, people. We don't wish to be. I mean, for those who want that, well, they can move to another country. That's just not our, you know, it's not our option. That's not what America is built on. It's not at all. Hey, listen, while I have you here, let me tell you all here, enjoying the program today, hashtag my voice. I love this because we get a good sampling of viewpoints and ideas and thoughts, and we'll pick it up in just a moment here, and we'll get back. We're going to have Latina on fire next year, Liz, and we'll talk about the Never Trumpers. That should be interesting for that third topic I was promising you about. But listen, I want to remind you all again that it is all back at AmericaOutLoud.com. So we are on the front lines to protect our liberty, as you know. I mean, that's who our listeners are and our readers are. And so I encourage you, our goal here is to get to the middle of the road. we're not going to win this fight in America by going after extremists. That's not where the fight is won in America. The fight is won from the middle class. It is won right in the middle of America. So we're talking about the moderates, the independents, the blue dog Democrats, just left of center. These are the kind of people I want you to invite into this program, The Voice of a Nation, that you hear every day at 6 and 10 p.m. on America Out Loud Talk Radio. Ian goes to podcast as well, of course. But I want you to invite those people in here and invite them to AmericaOutloud.com as well, so they can get a sense of truth. It's a place where they can be comfortable, not threatened. You can take your shoes off there, relax, and know you're with family and people who love you. I mean, that's the whole concept here. You're not going to be threatened and harassed and abused or keep having to click all the X's of all the nasty ads that come up on all those crazy news sites or whatever they are. I don't even bother anymore. Don't watch them or don't listen to. In any event, it's America Out Loud. You'll find our mantra is very, very simple on America Out Loud, friends. I mean, we put it right up there. It's spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. Here we take on the challenges of our generation so that we can indeed preserve future generations. If we don't do it here, who will? Who will? We cannot continue to leave it up to the people ahead of us. We need to get it right now. Listen, we're going to take a quick pause here and be back again with Mallory Millett, Politic Rick, and Liz, Latina on Fire. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. As we celebrate our four-year anniversary, thank you for making it all possible. Well, shouldn't news deliver truth and inspire us to reach higher? With blogs, podcasts, video, and 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We are the vision of the voices, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health. Sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa. Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com.
Hashtag My Voice is the program today. And so the concept of the program today is it is about your voice out there. If you have a need or have a real strong story or something you want to share with us, you can email us at liberty@AmericaOutloud.com. Liberty@AmericaOutloud.com. Our producers will get it, and we can certainly take that in and see what we can do. So always like to have the dialogue with all of you out there. And listen, today we're talking about the mendacity of China. That's putting it nicely, by the way. Cavuto Fox and hydroxychloroquine. And now next, want to talk about Never Trumpers. And it really does come back to what this whole Never Trumper movement is about. It's from day one. When the president hit the escalator, everybody thought it was a joke at first, like it was a late night joke that he would never win the presidency, just like they believe he will never win re-election at this point. And they have themselves fooled again. And then they convince themselves that the polls are telling them something that the polls don't tell them at all, because Americans aren't even talking truth to the pollsters anymore. We don't believe them. And so that means that's all wrong as well. But they didn't learn their lessons the first shot out. So here we are again, right? And anyways, let's bring on Liz here. Latina on Fire, she goes by. Let me tell you just a bit about Liz. She is a retired professional photographer. She was born in Cuba, which you might have heard earlier in the program. And she came here to America at 6 years old to escape communism with her family. And she says this is why she is so, so deplorable. Liz, that says plenty, doesn't it, now, you know?
That's my life.
It's your life. Well, it is your life. You can't really change your DNA, and nor should you. But I love that sort of a story, Liz, and the fact. And one time we will talk more about that on here, because the whole story of coming from Cuba and communism is a story unto itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you are very passionate about this president. And I will say, yes, to you, and I'm cool with that. What I'm passionate about here for me, Liz, I'm passionate about America. So for Malcolm, President Trump is a means to an end. And I don't mean to pop anybody's balloons here, but I'm more of a truth seeker. So I don't, I know a lot of my people eat the Trump cornflakes in the morning, and he can do no wrong. I'm not one of those people, by the way. So I like Trump very much. I think he's doing a great job for our nation, and I will absolutely be supporting him. But I am about truth, and I'm about preserving our republic, preserving our liberty here in America. And President Trump is God sent. He's the one to do it right now. But again, I don't want to suggest that I eat the Trump cornflakes. I think part of the problem, Liz, and what I want to throw at you here next, you picked Never Trumpers as the topic. I think we have two camps here. I think we have the Never Trumpers, the people who hate Trump and think he is a complete imbecile. And then we have the people who eat Trump cornflakes every morning. The man can do no wrong. And I think this is where you've got this clash in America here. And I think everybody's got it wrong. You got to hold everybody to be accountable, including the president. And we expect certain things of him. But I think that's not what I'm seeing right now. To me, that's where the rubber meets the road. Talk about that, please.
Well, I believe that President Trump is excellent. You know that that's my opinion. But I don't eat the cornflakes. I am a person that likes to observe, watch, listen, and hear. I'm also very opinionated, as you can see already. And I've experienced communism. So I have a whole lot of stuff on me that I think about constantly. And I'm very concerned about the United States of America. If it wasn't Trump and it was another person that I thought was highly qualified, and I'm going to be honest here, left or right, I would probably vote for them. But I know for a fact that the one that's going to save this country is Trump. Because Trump has a very strong character. He has a strong vision. And he understands what's going on in the world more than most Americans, most Cubans, Jewish, whoever. He has something that maybe is God sent. I don't know. I can't figure it out. Can't put my finger on it. But I can tell you, he is the man to do this, if anybody can. The left has had too much power for too long. Their principles and values have nothing to do with ours.
That's right. That's right. Liz, do you think the Never Trumpers will ever get over it?
No, I think it's going to get progressively worse, especially because they know in their heart of hearts that Trump is going to win again. He will be reelected November 3rd, 2020. So this post-traumatic stress syndrome that they're all suffering from,
I love it.
They're going to need to go to a psychiatrist.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Oh, Liz, that is well said. That is well said. you're right. They all do have some sort of a PTSD going on. Probably, 47% of the nation has PTSD, I guess, and never got over it. Right, Liz? You know,
it's actually going to get worse.
Yeah, well, I think it is going to get worse. And I think as he wins re-election coming into that second year, part of the administration, I think we have to be careful to protect the president because I'm concerned for his life is what I'm concerned with, because there are a lot of people where their screws are not quite tight. I don't know what happens here. Let's bring on Mallory here to comment on this. Mallory, I am concerned always for the president and his protection, of course, especially as we're coming into a new election and all of this. But this whole Never Trumper thing. First of all, do you eat Trump cornflakes? I have to ask you. Do you eat Trump cornflakes?
No, definitely not. the only thing that the only thing that I my relationship with Donald Trump is just that I see that the man is deeply earnest, that he is always searching for truth. He listens to all kinds of counter opinions. He doesn't just provide himself with people who agree with him all day long. He's the people that I know who know him say he listens very intently to every single thing that anybody around him has to say.
Well, isn't that a CEO mentality right there?
Yes, I think it is. And I think that, you know, I don't think they'll ever get over it, because what you have to remember is that quote I gave you in the beginning from Lenin. The people on the left believe that lying is all right for them. So their cause takes over everything, Malcolm. It's all for the cause. It's all for the cause. So in the end, they can end up murdering your mother, and that's perfectly reasonable because it's for their cause. So they don't have any rules, except the rules for radicals that Saul Alinsky brought up or something, you know, and they are all involved with lying. And in America, we are very, very connected to seeking truth and decency. This is something that Donald Trump really works hard for, is a level of decency among people, you know. And when I look at the ferocity in Melania's eyes, I think that probably, Liz, you can identify with that, because she came from a socialist background. Mm-hmm. And I can see her there with this ferocious expression in her eyes, right, of no one's going to get past her with this leftist baloney.
The thing with Donald Trump, Mallory, is that I do believe that as we look at, you know, I look at everything as the fight of good versus evil. That's how I look at all of these things we talk about.
Exactly.
Mallory. I really do. Yeah. And that's the whole mission of this show, The Voice of a Nation, Mallory, is to identify we've been put here. Malcolm has been put here because I represent the good camp. I'm a product of God. This is a mission of God. It's a godly mission. Well, we make that good. We put on the good fight every day. The second I take my head off the pillow in the morning, Mallory, that's when I begin the fight of good versus evil. And that's the truth, until I rest in the evening. And that is my mission here. That is what we do. Having said that, as I bring Rick on, Politic Rick here, Rick, I'm going to say to you that I am very convinced that Donald J. Trump is here for a purpose and a reason. I do believe he is part of this good camp. I believe he is sent here to correct some of the wrongs. And I think part of the reason, Rick, is he was very unassuming. Nobody thought that Donald Trump, you know, the womanizer, the businessman, the extravagant life he led of gold and diamonds and the eliteness of it all. Nobody expected him that he would be the camp for the evangelicals and the Christian crowd. I think they all got fooled by surprise, didn't they?
They sure did. You know, if you look at this from a biblical standpoint, look at King David. God selected King David. King David was far from perfect. As a matter of fact, he murdered his neighbor because he watched his wife out on rooftop next door. He murdered his neighbor to have his wife, and God still picked him. So the point is, God doesn't pick perfect people. He picks people that are perfect for the situation. Mm. Isn't it amazing?
I love that.
When there's a major crisis, a leader tends to step up. You know, why is that? So I do believe in God, and I believe that it's not chance. I believe that God did select Donald Trump. He is the right guy for this particular situation. For 30 years, he's been talking about exactly what he talks about today. The guy is just an open book. He's so sincere. Everybody knows he speaks the truth. Now, let me say one thing about these Never Trumpers. You know, the scary part of all of this is we can't really tell who they are for sure. Well, we can use common sense to try to identify them. Remember how probably your grandfather or some older person in your life told you, you know, Malcolm, don't look at what people say, look at what they do. That's the key. And that's a big part of what we analyze is, well, what's actually happening out there? What are these people doing? And you know, what can we draw from that? So let me point out this. Think about this. For 2 years, the Republicans controlled the House, the Senate, they had the presidency for 2 years, and they didn't stop this Never Trump impeachment, Trump derangement syndrome, you know, process that was going on. They could have stopped those investigations. They could have. Why didn't Paul Ryan, why didn't Mitch McConnell do something about it? You know what? They didn't issue a single subpoena back in that period of time. Why is that?
Yeah, that's the question. There's a lot of questions in there, Rick. Why? And it's where we find ourselves, right? I mean, we have to pick up the pieces now and try to put this thing back together. The Never Trumper movement, those people, as you say, you really don't sometimes know who they are, Rick. You know, they don't always identify themselves as such, but you're exactly right when you say those who are on the front lines, that their actions match the words, those are the ones that you know are sincere, correct?
Right, exactly right. So, yeah. And I'm kind of, right now I'm pointing a finger at some of the old guard, you know, that they right. really didn't want Donald Trump in office. They weren't willing to lift a finger to do anything to stop this. We're all scratching our head and our backside trying to figure out how is it that the Republicans are in control, but it's nothing but Republicans going to jail. Why is that? Well, there you have it right there. There you have it right there.
Well, that's exactly it, because it is an establishment here that we're looking at here. These are, again, how do you say this, people? Entrenched bureaucrats. There's a system in play, and these people don't want to let go. But again, it's a power trip is what it is. And the power has been given to these people over a period of time. They've assumed the power. They've got the power, and they don't want to let it go. Donald Trump was a threat to the entire system, but he was also a threat to the world community. He was a threat to all of the globalists who were seeking to unite to the Kumbaya group under one group there, which was never going to happen, people. It was never going to happen. You can see the way the world is shaken up right now. You know, we're at a pivotal moment of history. Every so many hundreds of years, history changes, the landscape and the geography changes of the world. I venture to tell you right now, we're in one of those moments. And I've been warning you for some time now. I've said to you last couple of few years, right along, you've heard me say it. I mean, we're living in historical times, very historical times. All the things that are playing out right now are not accidental. I'm telling you, people, believe me, I give you my word, my God's honest truth. This is really where we find ourselves. And that's why the fight of good versus evil is so paramount to everything we speak about. I mean, nothing is more important than this fight that we get up every day and we put that forth. Now, listen, the other side, the evil side, I'm going to call them the evil side, okay? With your permission, please. They're never going to let go. This is Satan at work, people. But here's the thing. There can be no mercy. I put this out the other day on social media. There can be no mercy, okay? And just remember that, please. Don't come back to me crying later on when you want to give mercy to the evil people, to the enemy. There can be no mercy, okay? There was no mercy over the last 3.5 years when they tried to take we the people down and take the president down. There was no mercy then, was there now? They kept in a full court throttle here to stifle the election and America, by all means, by hook or by crook. So let me just say, just there's the warning sign there. Don't take your eye off the ball. There's a lot at stake historically, I'm telling you. And again, for all those of you out there and those Christians who believe that God has this all figured out, and I really am seeing that a lot out in media where people, God's got it. Jesus has got it. God is there, Almighty. Don't worry about a thing. You know what? You are so wrong. You are so wrong. God has given us free will to make decisions here. He didn't give us the game and then control all of the actions and the outcomes. I mean, he would have changed some of those outcomes that were horrific back in the day. He's not going to change it now either. This is up to us. It's up to you and I to put the fight forward. God isn't going to fix this for us. That's what he put us here for. We have brains. Use them. Get off the sofa and use the brain. And tell the people around you to use their brains, please. There's a lot at stake here, people. That's all I'm saying. Listen, it's the truth, the out loud truth. So big thank you here to Mallory Millett, Politic Rick, and Liz Latina on Fire here. Hashtag my voice. Let's get it out there, friends, and let's get the good word out there. And liberty is alive and well in America as we continue the fight forward here. We will never stop. We will always fight for liberty. It's time to get involved and get loud.